Once upon a time, she covered Oregon State sports for the Oregonian, Phoenix Suns for the Atlantic. Now check out the website, valleytales.substack.com. It's a newsletter centered on the Suns and more. On Twitter, use the handle at Gina Mizell. We welcome in the sports journalism version of the divine Miss M. Gina Mizell joins us. Gina, appreciate the time. How are you doing during these trying times?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Always great to be back on in the lovely state of Oregon. Yeah, the last month or so in particular has been very weird and very challenging for me. Was laid off by The Athletic on June 5th and then sort of just trying to figure out what to do from there. But, I mean, I think we're all going to look back on this time in our lives, the past 4 or 5 months with COVID and just everything that has been a result of that. It's unforgettable, that's for sure. But overall, I'm doing well. Excited to have the newsletter and website up and running. The NBA is obviously moving toward its restart, and it's nice to kind of just have some routine in my life again, and then obviously seeing what's coming out, what else is coming down the pike, we'll see. But overall, I'm doing well.
I'm glad to hear that. So the new undertaking, you started the newsletter 8 days ago. I think I've already read 5 different posts. So let the folks know, where could they get it, how can they get it, and what could they expect content wise? Jeez.
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned it. It's called Valley Tales, ValleyTales, .substack, And Substack is this really cool platform that a lot of writers and even quite a few journalists are using these days, where it allows you a very clean template to create newsletters. And so you go to that site, you can put your email address in, and then anytime I publish something or write something, it'll go directly to your inbox. You don't need to check the site every day. You don't need to check social media. It's just going to pop right into your email. And you know, I'm not going to overload people with stuff. It's going to be consistent but not crazy as far as coverage. But I'm hoping to have at least 2 stories up a week, but probably a little bit more once we actually get into games and the season resuming. So, I would say that if you like the NBA, especially if you followed the Suns at all or have followed my career or my writing throughout my time in this business, I'm trying to keep it pretty consistent as far as what you've come to expect from me as far as, you know, feature writing, just analysis, game stories, kind of establishing a community with the readers. That's all the type of work that I still really like to do as far as kind of lifting the curtain on, in particular, the Suns, but kind of just the NBA as a whole as well. So, yeah, if you liked my work at previous stops, whether it was at the Oregonian or otherwise, I'm trying to keep the same sort of approach and the same mentality there as well.
Well, we have, and we do. One deviation here. I know you and I share one thing: Broadway shows, musicals. My wife and I just subscribed to Disney Plus. We're planning tonight to do Takeout and watch Hamilton. I saw on your Twitter feed a couple of posts featuring Lin-Manuel Miranda. So would I be accurate in assuming you've seen it? And what would Gina, the play critic, have to say?
Yeah, so I watched the movie on Saturday. My mom and I watched it, and actually my aunt and my cousin came over too. That's been kind of my quarantine crew through all of this. And so we watched it, and it was spectacular. I thought they did an awesome job of capturing the show, because I've seen the show 5 times. I was a little bit not worried going into the movie, but like, you know, I was ready to be all snobby about, okay, that's not going to be the same as seeing it on stage and being in the room and all of that. But I thought they did an excellent job of making, you know, you feel like you were right in the middle of it. And so, yeah, I've been on the Hamilton bandwagon since 2015. I actually saw it off-Broadway before it even transferred to Broadway. So, I've seen it. I saw the original cast on Broadway. I saw the original cast at the Public Theater in New York before it transferred to Broadway. And then I've seen it 3 times on tour. I saw it in San Francisco while I was living in Portland. I saw it in Phoenix when the tour came through here, and then when I was living in Denver, I saw it there as well. So no, I'm a nerd in that the biggest regard. But yeah, you're gonna have to tell me what you think, because I thought they did an excellent job with capturing it all on film, and I'm so glad that it's out there for everybody to be able to see, especially given that we're all still kind of stuck at home right now.
So basically, you're a Hamilton stalker. I mean, let's just put our cards.
I mean, it's not the show that I've seen the most amount of times, but I've seen it many times. So, yes.
I love it. Talking with Gina Mizell, the new newsletter, Letter Valley Tales. I got to hit rewind from your days covering OSU. I know you keep mm-hmm. track. You were there from the start of this great run. We know Sabrina was a new duck. Do you remember when you saw her as a freshman, now 4 years later? I guess your thoughts on her becoming not only a transcendent player, but someone who has really advanced the women's game.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see that. You mentioned that her freshman year was my last basketball season in Portland, and so it was really cool to see even just how talented she was back then, or of course just the hype around her recruiting and choosing Oregon and all of that, and obviously immediately sort of being like, okay, yeah, I get it. I get why people were so, every program in the country wanted her to be a part of it. But to even see that progress through the years has been really remarkable. And then obviously the Final Four run last year, and just such a shame that that team and her in particular couldn't finish off this season given everything that's going on in society and the world. But yeah, it's just really, like you said, transcended the women's game. There are people that I know that love basketball but maybe don't necessarily follow the women's game, and you say Sabrina and they just know who she is. Like, she's already that person that you just need to say her first name and people know who you're talking about. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what she's able to accomplish in the WNBA. Obviously a very different season there as well with them playing in a bubble, but yeah, tremendous career at Oregon. It was really cool to be there and watch her a little bit at the beginning of her career, and now can't wait to see what she does at the pro level.
Well, as a lifelong New York fan, I got my Liberty jersey already.
There you go.
obviously at the same time, you had Mikayla Pivic with the Beavs starting out, mm-hmm. and that year they swept Oregon, made the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and she's unique in that she's also an academic All-American, now drafted by the Dream in the WNBA. So you were there at the beginning, Gina. How quickly did you know how special she was? And in a lot of ways, kind of epitomizing the best of what a student athlete is.
Yeah. I think that was pretty apparent from the get-go. And just, I remember even the first time talking to her, you could tell she just had this presence and this maturity about her. And then I remember that season, she started the year coming off the bench, and it was sort of just a matter of time to be like, okay, when is Mick going to move into the starting lineup? Because it was so clear that she, even at that point in her career, that she could do so many things just on the floor. She could rebound, she could pass, she could shoot. She, again, had that maturity to her already, because that was a good team. That was Oregon State was in the midst of winning three straight Pac-12 titles, obviously had amazing players from Sydney Weiss was on that team, Gabby Hansen was on that team, and it was a great group to sort of get thrown into. It already had played such a key role. So, no, she's a really unique player in that, again, she does a little bit of everything, and like you said, just really encompass what being a student athlete was. I mean, she was like an engineering major, right? I mean, not easy for anybody to do, much less someone who's a student athlete. And I know she does tons of charity work and is just kind of the model human in that regard. And then I remember doing this story, I think it was between her freshman and sophomore years, where she threw the javelin and for the track team in the off season. I'm like, of course she did, because why wouldn't you? So yeah, she was a great kid to cover. And again, another person that she's opting to sit out this season for the WNBA, but once her career gets going, whether it's in the league or overseas, I think she's got such a bright future, whether it's in sports or just in life in general.
I'm going to get to some NBA, so your son's kind of snuck in as like the last team in this crazy mm-hmm. regular season finale, and it's been already a decade since Steve Nash led them to the West Finals. So I wanted to hit on Devin Booker because you see him and have seen him day in, day out. He's only 23 years old. I mean, this guy has gone from 22 points a game to 24 to 26. Would I be accurate in saying, because if he played for a franchise that was a little more successful now, a little more high profile, he'd be more of a household name because he's just tremendous.
Yeah, no, I think that's right on the money, and he just continues to get better every single year. I mean, last year, which was my first year covering the Suns and being around him day to day, that team had literally no point guard, and so he was asked to really handle a lot of the playmaking duties, and his assist numbers just skyrocketed. And then this year, even with Ricky Rubio on the floor, his assist numbers were still really, really good, but his efficiency as far as shooting the ball was just incredible. I mean, for the bulk of the season, he was shooting over 50% from the floor, which is just tremendous for a guy who is a shooting guard and is you know, putting it up from all over the floor. So watching him operate, watching him continue to grow and get better, I think has been it's been really cool to watch, just because he was a lottery pick, but, you know, just barely, and nobody thought he was going to be a perennial, you know, just a guy who could score 25 points a game. He became a first-time All-Star this year. He was Dame Lillard's replacement when he got hurt right before All-Star weekend. So that was, I think, a big moment for him, just sort of having some validation across the league and being able to be around those other star players for the weekend and kind of pick their brains and learn from them. So, no, it's funny because there are other people who think, okay, Devin Booker is going to be the next really good player that demands a trade because the team he's on is terrible and this and that. And, you know, who knows what the future holds, but everything that Devin Booker has said is that he loves Phoenix. He wants to be the person that helps bring this franchise out of the ashes, so to speak. And we'll see if he's able to do that. But no, he's a terrific player. Like you said, only 23 years old. I think he's only going to continue to get better. And he is definitely a lot of fun to watch work every single night.
Talking with Gina Mizell, the newsletter is Valley Tales. The Twitter feed is at Gina Mizell, M-I-Z-E-L. So the GM of the Suns is James Jones. And for everybody mm-hmm. who's hearing that name, yeah, he's the guy who relatively recently won titles as a player with LeBron on the Heat and the Cavs, only retired 3 years ago. I thought in the newsletter he had an interesting take about these guys actually being ready to play in just over 3 weeks. So, Gina, even though everybody's got the same amount of prep time, he kind of cautioned of the challenges beyond just players, of everybody being ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously knows what it takes in a normal season to sort of be on that long haul and to play towards a championship, and just the grind that is. And this is even, you put an extra layer of complications or difficulty to this, because you've had this long layoff that is basically the length of a normal off season, essentially, by the time we actually get to games being played. And then you have to try to ramp up quickly. And I know there's some concerns about, you know, potentially injuries or overworking guys or just all of that, because even though we've been off, which guys are used to being off in the summertime, but it's just different because there was a period of time where guys couldn't go to a gym. If they didn't have equipment in their home or apartment, they were sort of stuck trying to do normal workouts like you and me. And so it's just different than training for basketball every single day. So yeah, I'm really curious just to see how not just the Suns, but just every team is able to, you know, combat this and try to ramp themselves back up and use the practices, use these exhibition scrimmage type games, and then obviously the 8 seeding games before the playoffs start, and how teams sort of strategize and balance how to, you know, make sure that guys are ready, but also that they don't get hurt, because that would be the worst thing ever, is if somebody just, you know, tore a knee or you know, broke a leg or something like that because they weren't necessarily ready to go. So yeah, James Jones comes from a unique perspective because he was a player himself. He knows what these guys go through on a daily basis, and so I think his comments on things like that should be taken seriously just because he's experienced it himself at the highest level and pretty recently, like you said.
A couple finer thoughts for Gina. You know, obviously in Pac-12 country, we were interested in the career of DeAndre Ayton as the top pick. And then after his rookie year, suspended 25 games this season, then some kind of nagging injuries. But the 30 games he played, you really started to see him come along. So what kind of year has it been for him? And how would you describe where he's at both physically and mentally, considering, you know, he just turns 22 in a couple weeks?
Yeah. I mean, it's been it was a strange season for him even before the world went haywire, I would say. So, yeah, like you mentioned, he played in the opener, then was suspended for the next 25 games, came back and had some nagging injuries, but you definitely saw the flashes of progress, particularly on the defensive end, where a lot of times last season he just looked lost. Guys would get behind him, easy buckets. He just wasn't quite that last line of defense, but his blocks numbers basically doubled this year, so that shows his growth as a rim protector. Just you could see he was just more aware on the floor just when you would watch him. And Mike Schmitz from ESPN actually just recently did a really great video breakdown with him where DeAndre is explaining plays and whether they're good or bad and what he did well and what he didn't. And it kind of just demonstrated an understanding that he's gaining just as he's going through the NBA career on the early stages of that, I guess you could say. And so I'm fascinated to see what he looks like in this type of setting because he's healthy now. He's had some time to decompress, and he's, you know, gone over film with the coaching staff and is really, I think, trying to prove himself. I mean, he's a former number one overall pick, and he's got a lot still to prove in this league just because of the kind of choppy start to his career. So, yeah, I think he's still got a ton of potential. It takes young big guys longer, I think, to develop when they're first coming into the league compared to some guards or guys who have the ball in their hand a little bit more. So I'm really interested to see what he looks like moving forward, and that's going to be something I'll definitely be watching while the Suns are in Orlando for sure.
And lastly, what we call in radio a reset. We now know you're covering the Suns. You've got the newsletter in a new format. So, again, let the folks know where they can find it, what kind of coverage they can expect to get. And, you know, in particular, once this unique season gets rolling the end of this month.
Yeah, so you can find my newsletter. It's called Valley Tales. T-A-L-E-S, and you can find it at valleytales.substack, S-U-B-S-T-A-C-K.com, and you can sign up right there, pop in your email address, and then anytime I publish something new, it'll go straight to your email inbox, so you won't have to search it. And yeah, if you followed my career at any point, whether it was at the Oregonian or otherwise, I'm just hoping to provide the same style of coverage that you've come used to, and that's the sort of the approach that I'm taking. And particularly once the games get going, it should be really fun to follow not just the Suns, but the entire NBA as they try to get this whole thing off the ground and hope that everybody comes out safe and healthy.
Folks, she's Gina Mizell. Definitely check out the newsletter. Support quality journalism. It's important. Her Twitter feed, at Gina Mizell. Gina, great catching up. Wishing you well. Wishing you success with the new endeavor. And, of course, I definitely look forward to chatting again soon down the road. And thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, take it easy.